Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're still here. We're still in this thing.
Yo, people are starting to feel us a little bit. I ain't mad at them.
Were they not feeling us before? Or are you saying, like more people are starting to feel us?
Yo, the social media.
We're getting a little bit of love.
Yeah.
On Instagram, people are giving us some shout outs and some comments. Did you guys know we have an Instagram? I'm not going to front. Like, I'm not going to say you got to go. We're not the best.
You should check it out.
We're not the best posters.
Follow us though.
Yeah, follow us.
Every now and then you're gonna see some fire.
We're doing better. Sometimes we do a little video. Sometimes we don't. But
true confession, I'm not really good with Instagram. I don't know how to work it that well.
Now my personal Instagram page is lit.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want folks to follow you on there?
No, don't follow me on my personal Instagram. But at Momentum Advice, work it there.
Yeah. Twitter is popping. At Momentum Advice.
Yeah.
At Momentum Advice on Twitter. That was our original social media.
Yeah.
For us.
For us.
Black Planet for you.
No, don't.
Personally.
Nope. No one believes that. But, we're getting a little bit of love. We appreciate the love. If you guys ever want to give us some love and maybe you're not social media people, leaving a review on whatever podcast platform that you listen to us on is helpful. It keeps us in the mix. It lets people know that we're there.
Yeah.
When you guys leave reviews, it then, whatever the algorithm is, then allows for our show to be recommended to others who are listening to similar content.
Yeah, don't let us podcast in obscurity.
There you go. There you go. Podcast in obscurity. Well, we're here today. It is the middle of August.
Yeah, it is.
It has been hot as hell where I've been.
I'm not complaining.
And, this thing is, summer's winding down.
Yeah.
Winding down.
Nah, I'm still in the full swing of it, so don't start raining on my parade.
I do feel you on that, because there's still a couple of summery things that I got to get done.
Okay, all right.
So, excited about that, but that's not what we're talking about today.
No, we are talking about a right and a wrong way to borrow.
Like, let me borrow a dollar.
Yeah, no, well,
can
for
I
you,
a dollar?
For you?
Yeah.
12% interest rate. Here's your dollar.
Nope. Nope. Have you ever had to borrow a dollar from somebody? Like just a dollar?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like,
what extreme situation are you in where you're borrowing a dollar?
You forgot your wallet.
$1? Not like, let me hold $10. I need $20.
No, you're at the register.
You're at the register and you need a dollar.
Yeah.
So you really are $1.
Yeah, I've done that. Vending machine.
Vending machine.
Yep.
Okay. Strong reason to borrow a dollar. We are not talking about people borrowing a dollar, though.
No.
78% of full-time workers said they live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, and that's a lot. And that includes people that make a lot of money, make over six figures.
78% of full-time workers are living paycheck to paycheck.
They might need to borrow some money.
Not a dollar, though. More than a dollar. 71% of all U.S. workers say they are now in debt, which is up from 68% a year ago. I'm not surprised by that. Like, there's all types of debt. Like, we use debt to survive, debt to buy our homes, debt to afford our educations, pay for our automobiles. So I'm not surprised that 71% of U.S. workers say that they're in debt.
Yeah.
But only 46% said their debt is manageable.
That means the balance, they're like in over their heads, the rest of the people, more than half.
Yeah, so 54%. Are saying they're in over their heads on debt.
Yeah.
So the majority is like, listen, I got debt, but I'm, it's a struggle.
I can't do it.
Right? And 56% of all U.S. workers say they save like $100 or less each month.
That's a small amount for some people.
Yeah, and this is for full-time workers, right? Like, so we're talking about full-time workers. Part-time workers, maybe we can understand. Maybe you're not really making that much. But people who go to work at least 40 hours a week save $100 or less every month.
Yeah. We got to fix that.
These are some major numbers, but we're not saying these numbers to alarm you, right? Like, we're saying these numbers to say if you are in any of these predicaments, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to talk about the right and wrong ways to borrow.
There's a right and a wrong way.
Listen, but we want you to know what's happening out here. So even people making over six figures say they struggle to make ends meet. That we know for a fact.
Yeah.
We have a lot of clients and prospects and listeners who reach out to us and they're making amazing salaries mm-hmm. and they're still struggling.
Yeah.
Right? That just means their expenses are high. Maybe that they are in over their heads on this debt that we're talking about. Nearly one in 10 of people making $100,000 or more said they usually or always live check to check.
One thing I'll say, Tiffany, I don't know about for you, speaking for myself, we've all been there.
That and yes.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I don't care how responsible you are. I don't care how great your credit score is today. There's been a moment in time where you were making some wrong decisions. Maybe you overextended yourself. Maybe you were trying to keep up with the Joneses or doing a little bit too much or not making enough.
Or just making $100,000 is not as big as you think it is.
And like, you didn't realize that till you got there.
You didn't realize it till you got there, yeah. Till those taxes start to hit a little bit different.
Because people talk about that six figures. Like, I'm going to make six figures. And once I make a six figures, I'm going to be balling.
It's not the promised land.
It's not the promised land. Because if you're making $100,000, which is also six figures, you're probably bringing home $75,000.
At most.
After taxes. And you're probably spending like you have $200,000.
Yeah. And that's a lot of workers.
Yeah, all six figures are not created equal.
That's a fact.
Now, most financial experts, and by most, I mean us, we think that stashing at least 6 months of emergency savings away is kind of crucial, right? Yeah. We say anywhere from 3 months to a year, mm-hmm. but 6 months means like you really are kind of prepared. You've got a good cushion to make sure that if something happens, a dental bill, car repair, you're out of work for a little bit of time, you're going to be okay without having to put yourself in detrimental debt.
Absolutely.
And even though household income has grown over the past 10 years, it's failed to keep up with the increased cost of living over that same period of time. We talk about inflation. Things mm-hmm. today are way more expensive than they were 10 years ago.
The thief in the night.
The thief in the night. Okay, listen to that podcast episode if you have not heard it. So even though people are making more money, things cost way more money.
That's a fact.
And so things aren't adding up. And therefore, what do you got to do? What do you got to do when, you know, I make some, but I need a little bit more? You got to borrow.
Yeah. So this show is timely, I think, for two reasons. First, we know that our guy, Jerome.
Shout out to Jerome.
The Fed Reserve Chair,
mm-hmm.
Jerome Powell.
Yes.
Who sets the interest rate policy for our Federal Reserve Bank. He's planning on hiking interest rates by late 2022, maybe early 2023. Meaning if you're going to borrow, if you've got to borrow money, now's a great time to borrow money because rates are low and they will be going higher in the near future. That's the first reason. The second reason is August is like a really, really busy time for people borrowing.
I was getting ready to say.
Seasonally.
I was getting ready to say, do you know there's a seasonality to lending?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those people who people are always asking to borrow money, right?
Mm-hmm.
and as soon as you see your phone ring, you're like, I know exactly why they calling.
Yeah, here they
go. Or you just feel like somebody's about to ask me to borrow some money.
Mm-hmm.
You might know the seasonality.
Yeah.
So August is the month in which borrowers are more likely to take out a loan for weddings and moving costs.
Wait.
Yeah.
For weddings?
Weddings.
Because you're going to a wedding?
No, because you're paying for your wedding.
Mm.
People are taking out loans for
did
their weddings.
Did you take out loans for your wedding?
I did. Well, okay. Great question. Not a formal loan, but I asked to borrow a couple of dollars.
Homeboy hookup?
Homeboy
loan?
Hookup.
Really?
Everybody got their money back. Okay.
Praise God.
You know, especially since the marriage didn't work. But I did. So I did not take out any money from any banks or any institutions, but I did borrow some money from some family members.
Okay.
For sure. But yeah, so August is known for taking out money for weddings and moving costs. Individuals who apply for a personal loan in August are 22% more likely to put that cash towards paying for a wedding.
That's a really interesting stat. This is like ESPN when they're like, this is like the first player in NBA history to get knocked down,
I'm
but
saying,
get back up and hit a foul shot
ain't
without getting a fall.
It's August.
This
I'm
is
just
a really
giving the
specific
August.
Stat.
I'm giving some of the
I'm
August
I'm not mad
stats,
at you.
Okay?
I'm not mad. We're good with the stats.
I'm just saying. Also, so September is the month for emergency spending. Borrowers who apply for a loan in September are nearly three times more likely to use that money for surprise expenses.
Okay.
So shit goes down in September is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay? Just be mindful. If every September you feel like you're struggling or it's always something going on, it's not just you.
Yeah.
Other people are having the shit goes down September.
School's back in. You might have some unexpected supplies.
Notebooks don't have you applying for no loan. Not Trapper Keepers and pencils. I don't know. We're not talking. That's not the emergency.
You had a hot girl summer. Now you got to buy some Pampers.
Oh, wow. That's not where I thought you were going.
There's a lot of stuff.
Okay. Just so September's approaching, watch your back.
Yeah, that's just all we're saying.
Look around the corner. Drive a little bit slower.
Strap up.
Wait a minute. That loan, you can't take a bank loan out on just having a baby.
Yeah.
But a couple of other things. So March is known for auto loans.
Yep. That's because people get their tax refund.
Good point. Mm-hmm. And people get their tax. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. You got your tax refund and now you're ready to ball. You're ready for that Benz, for that upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay. May is most known for business loans.
Okay, maybe your tax bill
was I'm going to tell you high. What happened. I'm going to tell you what happened.
What happened in May?
So it's starting to get warm outside, and that's you want to be outside, and you're starting to realize, I hate this damn job.
So I'm
going to start a business. That's what happens because, again, it's getting nice outside, and then you're starting to hate your office more and more. You're starting to hate your coworkers more and more. You wish you were on vacation. You wish you had some more flexibility to do your own thing. So you're like, I'm about to start that business.
Yeah.
I can't be here this time next year.
Or I want to ramp up for my business, my seasonal business. And I know that the summer's going to pop, so I'm going to borrow the money in advance.
Okay.
Buy some restaurant supplies.
December is known for, this one, it's about to get good. December.
No. Where are you going with this?
Elective medical procedures.
So all these Brazilian
BBLs. Christmas.
That's what people are
Christmas.
Doing.
Christmas. December is Yeah. No, I hope you know this. This is not a...
People don't pay cash for
Listen, these payment plans are so low.
TNA?
And these interest rates for these BBLs are really great.
What's BBL?
Better than student loans.
What does it stand for?
Listen, we're not
going
to
talk about... Big booty loan?
Listen, possibly. But December is most known for elective medical procedures.
Brazilian butt lift, I guess. That's BBL.
Okay. I'm not going to put your business out there.
But women aren't just getting it lifted. They're getting butts expanded nowadays.
Expanded, lifted, okay, shaped. All types of things are happening.
All right, okay.
So that's...
Keep breaking down the calendar. I like where this is going.
Your Christmas. September, as we mentioned, is most known for emergencies. June is typically loans for home improvement.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you start to look at your backyard and realize, I need a pool and a deck.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have some cookouts this summer and my backyard ain't looking right.
Mm-hmm.
Home improvements, the month of June.
Okay.
August, we mentioned moving and relocation. February, this is so trifling. This is a little trifling. February is most known for taking out loans to pay taxes.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So that means you made enough money to be able to pay this certain amount of taxes, but you don't have it.
So you borrow it.
And you're borrowing before you file your next set of taxes.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Yeah. And September, this one I don't really understand. September is, first of all, are y'all taking out? Okay. September is most known for taking out loans for vacation.
Yeah. You want to go to that December, Christmas,
that's what I'm saying.
The
September,
Caribbean?
I would think like April.
You borrow
April,
early.
March,
no, you borrow
so that
early.
You can pay for your summer vacation. September.
Winter vacation is baller.
Is it?
Yeah. To go to the Caribbean in the winter, that's a baller move. I can see that.
You can see that?
Yeah.
But you're not balling if you have to take the loan out for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
Okay. Loans are happening. And as we're talking about, loans happen for a variety of different reasons. So again, this is not something that you should feel bad about. If you have any of these loans while we're poking fun and having a good time, listen, that's your business. You did what you needed to do, but you have to pay it off, right? And so there are good and bad ways to borrow. There are a number of different ways to borrow.
One financial ratio that I want you to have in the back of your head, listener, as you think about borrowing for this butt lift, butt expansion, this swimming pool.
Don't just focus on the BBL. We talked about other things, also weddings.
Yeah, all of these things.
All of the things, auto loans.
You want to make sure that your housing costs and your debt payments, if you add it all together, it does not exceed 36% of your gross monthly income.
So when we say gross, that's before taxes.
Correct.
So give you a little extra breathing room.
So if you're making $10,000 per month, meaning you make $120 per year, your debt payments, including your mortgage and whatever credit card bills, your student loans, that all needs to be less than $3,600 a month. So 36% is our rule of thumb.
Yeah. And this ratio just kind of determines if you're in a healthy range, right? If you're balanced in how you're living your life, or if you're in too much debt.
Yeah. Well, we start to see when people have debt exceeding 36% of their income, they start to get in trouble. They start making the minimum payment on cards. They are not prepared for an emergency. When they go to borrow, they're going to pay a higher interest rate. That 36%, again, is just a good target. A lot of times when we're making more money than we're used to, we'll borrow what they let us borrow.
Right. Yeah.
This is good advice for you to make sure that you know within your means what we think is a good amount to borrow.
Because we all know what happens, right? You're like, listen, we're going to buy a house. I'm going to go ahead and get my pre-approval.
Yeah. And it comes in way higher. Right,
you qualify for a $2 million mortgage.
You're like, well, I guess they said I need to get
right,
a $2 million
house.
Right
now, all of a sudden, you've been looking at $400,000 houses this entire time, and now you're looking at $2 million houses.
Yeah, they said I could get it. So.
Or you get that letter in the mail with a credit card telling you you qualify for a credit card with a $25,000 balance.
It's Discover, but go on.
Listen, and you know you don't need $25,000 worth of credit.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is how we end up in a variety of different situations. And we will talk about a number of different ways to borrow. But the first question you should always ask yourself, right, when we think about debt, when we think about borrowing money, is do I need to take a loan? Do I need to take a loan, or can it wait a little bit and can I just save for it?
Yeah,
right. Like a lot of times, if you just budget for 3 or 6 months, you could probably pay for that thing, especially that BBL, but you could probably pay for that thing that you want. Not a house, not a car, but maybe that deck, maybe that home improvement. If you just decide to budget and shift some things around for a couple of months and you're a little bit more disciplined, you don't need a loan. You just need some time and a budget.
That's a great point, Tiffany. I think if we can delay our gratification a little bit in the world, because America is shoving credit down our throats. I believe we probably have more personal debt per capita than any other country in this world. You go to the store at the counter, they're trying to offer you a discount. If you get the store card, you're getting these letters in the mail. Like, credit is being pushed on us, but it really is incumbent upon us to be responsible with how we think about credit. Because to your point, we don't need everything right now.
Right. And the question may be, well, I'm responsible enough. I know how to handle debt. If they're going to offer it to me, why not just get it now? The reason is because you have to pay for that money, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you save and you budget and you pay for it yourself, you don't owe anybody anything. You don't have to pay any type of premiums on top of that money. If you borrow, you're not just borrowing the money that you are using. You are paying back a premium for every dollar that you chose to take.
Yeah. And one thing that you're good about, Tiffany, I will say, you're trying to pay stuff in cash.
Yes.
As much as you possibly can. I think that's beautiful. I think when you're in this credit mindset, you don't think about the price. You think about the payments.
Yeah.
Like, think about all the people who bought Peloton bikes on payments. They're like, oh, the payments are only...
Because there's no interest when you do the Peloton bike on credit. There's no interest.
That's not a bad thing if there's no interest. But that's not most of these loans.
For sure.
A lot of these loans have interest. And we've got to get beyond just thinking about the payments and thinking about how we can pay for some stuff. But if you're going to borrow money, we're going to talk about the good and the bad ways to do it.
So first things first, there's a credit union. A credit union is considered to be a cooperative institution controlled by its members or the people that actually use its services. Credit unions usually tend to include members of a particular group, an organization, a community to which one must belong to in order to borrow. So you can't just walk up into any credit union and be like, hey, I'm Sam, I want to open an account. You typically need to be a part of a union, some sort of organization, to be a part of a particular community in order to be eligible to be a part of a credit union.
I love credit unions. One of the things I love about credit unions is that they're nonprofits. And the members, like the people who deposited money, own the institution. And so they can afford to offer really attractive rates, but the profits really get filtered back to the members. I love this idea.
Yeah. My dad's on a board of a credit union. And what I love hearing when he talks about it is like, yeah, such and such came in looking for a mortgage. We decided to go ahead and give it to them.
Yeah.
Like, they're really involved in the decision making. And a lot of times they're a bit more lenient than just looking at your debt and your credit score. If they know you're tied to the community and if they, you know, have other insight into who you are, your character and your background, you know, it helps in the decision making when it comes to these types of loans and borrowing. And as Alan mentioned, oftentimes they don't nickel and dime you on transaction fees. They don't tend to have a lot of application fees. You know, we like credit unions. We think no matter what, whether you're borrowing or not, if you can get in a credit union, you probably should.
I love it.
So stick with us. We are talking about good and bad ways to borrow. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm with Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world.
We are back.
Yes.
Good and bad ways to borrow some money.
Because there's a right and a wrong way.
Has anybody ever borrowed money from you in a bad way?
Yeah. Yeah. I made one loan that I wish, I can't say I wish I hadn't, but it was really complicated. I loaned really good friends money for their wedding, and I did it without talking to my wife about it first.
Okay. So you were the bad loan. You were the bad giver of the loan.
And it wasn't my money. It was a loan. I took out, had a home equity line, and I was just feeling like I can spend this money how I feel. And
you're a bad lender.
It got paid back very late. And I was in counseling after this.
Wow. I just meant like, did you have any bad borrowers? But you were a bad lender.
Yeah, I mean, they took a while to pay the money back. So, yeah. You know, so that was one. Another, I got roped into a bad business loan for an event I was sponsoring, and they didn't have enough money to pay for food. And they're like, yo, if we don't come up with the money to pay the caterer, the event can't go. And I sponsored the event. So I'm like, all right, I'll let you put this on my card.
Wow.
$5,000, yo. Never saw
on a
this.
Credit card or on yes, a bank card?
On a credit card.
So you probably paid like $7,000.
Yeah. No, I probably paid $12,000. Like, Yeah. Needless to say, I don't really mess with that cat no more.
Tiffany Hawkins doesn't have these experiences. I'm just going to go on record.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big lender.
No.
I'm not a big lender. I'm a giver. If you ask me for some money and I can just give it to you, that's what we're going to do. If I need this money back, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not much of a lender.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask for a gift at the end of the show. Go on.
And I just might not give it. But other ways to borrow. Home equity.
Home equity loans are when you borrow against the equity in your house. So let me give you a quick math example. Imagine your house is worth $400,000, but your mortgage balance is only $300,000. So you've got about $100,000 of equity in that home. You can go to your bank. Often you can go to your primary mortgage bank and say, hey, I would like a home equity loan, either as a line of credit, which is like a credit card they'll give you to access that equity, or as a straight up loan that you pay back over time. If you've got $100,000 in equity, they might loan you $50,000 against it or $60,000 against it. And it's a really easy loan to get, but it's really easy to get in trouble with these loans too.
Yeah. So typically they have a fixed rate and a repayment period of anywhere from 5 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. That's the home equity loan.
That's the home equity loan. To me, that's long as hell. The average interest rate on home equity loans can be anywhere from, on average, 4 to 6%.
Yeah.
That's not horrible. That's not credit card numbers.
And then there's a home equity line of credit, which those rates are variable and those payments can be really low because they don't make you pay back the principal. Like, I remember borrowing $100,000 on a home equity line of credit. This is why I was giving out money for bad loans. my payment on $100,000 was like $250 a month. Like,
wow.
And I was in my 20s. Like,
oh, you were wilding.
Yeah. That was a bad mix.
Yeah.
Being young with some cash.
It also comes down to how you plan on spending the money, right? So Alan took his home equity and just started giving out money.
Ran amok.
Was wilding. But sometimes people take out home equity loans and they use it to pay down more expensive debt, right? They use it to pay off their credit cards. Or sometimes they use it to pay off their student loans. And as we mentioned earlier, you might use it for home improvement. That's pretty common.
In my opinion, this is where I talk about getting in trouble. You really should not use your home equity line willy-nilly. You should use it to repair your home. You should use it maybe to pay off credit card debt, but only with one stipulation I would give. You've got to fix the problem of why you ended up in credit card debt to begin with. Like, I would hate for you to end up in even more debt because you're still spending on credit. So like when we talk to people who have debt problems, but they've got a lot of home equity and we bring up this idea of a home equity loan, we often say, look, only do this if you're beyond spending money on credit. If you're living off of cash, it can be a great thing to do. It's an easy loan to get. The rates are low. But again, you're eating into your home equity.
Also, here's my caveat about home equity. When you use the money for home improvement, only use it for home improvement that either makes your house. So maybe if you have repair, like you have major issues, boilers gone, HVAC, something like that, and you need to make the house livable again, that's one thing. Or if you're going to use it in a way that's going to increase the house's value,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't take out a home equity loan to, you know, like that deck ain't gonna do but so much to the value of the home. Or, you know, maybe you're adding a bathroom. Maybe you're renovating the kitchen. Like those are, maybe you're finishing the basement. If you're just making a man cave, like you already have a finished basement, but you want to put big screen TVs up everywhere and a pool table, like that's not gonna increase the value of your home. And unless you plan on staying there for a very, very long time, I oftentimes think that home equity loans that are taken out for home improvement are kind of wasted.
Yeah, we see people waste them all the time. One issue you want to think about is like, it'd be great to have your house paid off by the time you're retired.
There you go.
We often see people in their 70s that are still carrying mortgages. And often it's this type of loan. It's a home equity loan or it's a line of credit. So all we'll say is it's a good loan if you're using it for a good purpose, but be careful not to borrow more money than what you really need.
Next up is personal loans or unsecured loans. Right? So these type of loans don't require borrowing against something of value, like a house. So that makes them really attractive to people because you don't often need collateral or something to leverage the money against.
Yeah. Yeah. People like that because they don't have to post anything. And you can't lose anything, really. You could obviously ruin your credit, but they can't take something away from you.
But because of that, these typically have a higher interest rate.
Yeah.
Right? Like they have higher interest rates than home equity loans for sure. Personal loans are also typically locked in for a shorter period of time. So you don't get 10 to 15 years. You typically get like 1 to 5 years, mm-hmm. which make the payments a lot higher. Oftentimes you're required to allow them to automatically deduct the payment from your bank account.
Wow. That's aggressive.
They don't even trust you.
That is aggressive.
I mean, but I'm saying I don't have any collateral.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, like you said, if you walk away, what you gonna do? Ruin my credit?
Yeah.
My credit's already bad.
Yeah.
So I understand. Like, I do think, listen, like, if you want all that, I need to be able to take it directly out of your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't know is you're already in overdraft. So it's whatever. It's whatever, right? But we don't favor personal loans, to be honest with you. Personal loans are typically smaller in amount.
Yeah, I don't love personal loans, but if the alternative is to take it out on a credit card where you're going to pay 15 to 25%, do the personal loan. Interest rates are really low on these loans compared to credit cards. There's also a lot of new lenders that are doing personal loans. You've got LightStream, which charges around 6%. You've got SoFi, which is 6% to 20%. You've got Marcus by Goldman Sachs at 7%. There's a lot of these new personal loan companies that did not exist 5 years ago.
But I am going to say the average interest rate on an unsecured loan is 11%.
Wow.
Right. So that's not like credit card numbers, but it ain't good either. Yeah. Like even if you have really, really good credit, it can get as low as 5.5%, but that's rare.
Yeah.
Right. So just be mindful of the interest rate. That is the premium that you are paying to borrow that money. So again, ask yourself, do I need it right now? Is there something that I can do with my own money to be able to afford this thing in a couple of months or maybe in a year or so? Instead of, again, paying a premium. Because it's like Alan said, like we started the show and I was like, yo, can I borrow a dollar? And he was like, there's 12% interest, right? Like if you asked a friend, hey, can I borrow $500? And they were like, yeah, as long as you give me $600 back, you would feel away. But you know what? Like, guess what? That was a 20% interest. Like you pay that on your credit card. You pay that on random purchases that you put on your credit card.
Yeah.
So why not pay it to your homie?
Yeah.
If you don't like it with them, don't like it with these people who are strangers.
Yep, I agree.
Next up is margin loans.
A margin loan, I think, is a slept on loan that more people need to know about. So in order to be eligible for a margin loan, first of all, you need a brokerage account. This is an account that you can use to buy stocks and bonds with. You can use it to buy mutual funds, a variety of investments. It's not a retirement account, though. This is you taking your own money out of your own checking account and putting it into a brokerage account at a brokerage firm. You can then borrow against the investments in that account. So for example, let's say you had $20,000 in stocks and bonds, and those investments are growing, we hope, over time. You could borrow like $10,000 against a $20,000 account, and the interest rate can be really low. The rate is typically anywhere from about 2.5% to about 8%. It depends. Often it's negotiable. You go to the brokerage firm and say, look, holla at your boy. I've been a long-term customer. I've been good to you. Why don't you lower my rate? You can get that rate, again, as low as 2.5%. Now, the challenge to a margin loan is that if the value of your collateral goes down, they might ask you to pay back the loan at a really bad time. So if your stocks drop from $20,000 down to be worth $10,000 and you've got a $10,000 loan against it, they're going to either ask you to put some cash into the account to make them feel a bit more comfortable, or they're going to sell all your investments, right? So you've got to be really careful with a margin loan not to borrow too much money.
And margin loans don't operate off of payments.
They don't operate off of principal payments. They take a little bit of interest. They deduct directly from the account, but it doesn't touch your credit,
right?
Which is what I love about margin loans. So you could have bad credit, have a brokerage account, have some money saved, have that investment growing, and then borrow against that.
But as Alan said, if something happens in the market that drastically affects your portfolio, they might ask for all their money back.
Yeah. Or they might sell your investments. Like they can be gangster that way if you don't have the cash. So it's a good loan because like we hope a lot of our listeners are building up some investments outside of their retirement plan. And if you're doing that, this gives you a really low cost access to some loans that is your own money, really.
Next up is the one we got to talk about, the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Okay. The bad apple sometimes.
All the time.
Most of the time.
Many times.
Credit cards.
Yeah, credit cards. Yo, rip them up. Cut them up.
Yeah.
Just get rid of them if you can.
Okay, but pay them off, right?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
there are plenty of people who rip them up, cut them up, and don't pay them off, right? So credit cards are the most common and the most expensive way to borrow money. 43% of Americans have been carrying a credit card balance for more than 2 years. What I mean by that, not saying like 43% of Americans have had debt for over 2 years. 43% of Americans have been carrying the same balance on their credit card for over 2 years. So you have not paid that credit card off because you know people love to say, I'm gonna pay as soon as the bill comes, I'm gonna just pay the whole thing off. 43% of y'all are lying. Okay? 43% of y'all have been carrying all of that money on that credit card for over 2 years. You've been paying the minimum balance and haven't made a dent in the money that you truly owe. The average household with credit card debt, how much do you think the average household with credit card debt owes? Average household.
I would guess like $7,000.
$17,000.
Yeah.
The average household with credit card debt owes $16,883.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah. And it'll take them, like they'll pay multiples of that to get it paid off.
For context, that same average household with credit card debt typically pays $1,300 in interest each year.
Can I break that down for a sec?
Please do.
Is that a little over $100 a month?
That's a little over $100 a month.
Didn't we already say that the average person working can't even save $100 a month?
Full-time worker.
There you go. That's right. Where your savings is going.
And you're paying it in interest. You still haven't paid the principal balance.
Yeah.
And that's every single year.
Yeah.
So for the people who are like, I can't afford to put it together an emergency savings right now. I don't have any money to invest. It's the money that you're paying on money that you've already used for something that you probably didn't really need.
Yeah.
That's where your money is. That's where your investments are. That's where your growth is. That's where your compound interest is. That's where the money resides.
Yeah. When we talk to people who have the goal of building wealth and they have credit card debt, we often just say, look, you've got a window open in your house, all the way open.
And right.
You're trying to heat the house in the winter.
You got the heat on high with all the windows open.
You've
got
to get rid of those. Another type of credit card debt that we really hate the most, like we're hating on the credit card industry. If you work for Visa or MasterCard, don't sponsor us. Like, that's the one.
Yeah.
We're not going to be good for business is all I'm
not
saying.
Not at all.
But the one part of credit card lending that I probably hate the most is the cash advance from the credit card.
Yeah.
At least with a traditional credit card purchase, they give you up to 30 days to pay it off before they start to accrue the interest. With the cash advance, the moment you take that dollar out, they're already charging interest, and they often charge a higher rate for cash advances than they do for regular credit card purchases.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But I am going to say, I'm gonna ease up on credit cards a little bit, right? Because there are people who either, one, they do pay their balances off every month, or they have the money to make the purchase, but they get these zero introductory credit card offers. You know, it's zero interest for the first 60 days, year, whatever the case is. And the people really do pay them off, right? Like, in those instances, I'm not against credit cards. I'm not against using credit cards because you are building your credit, right? And if you're doing right by them, it works out. It's just that it's a super slippery slope. You might do right by them 3 out of 4 times, but that fourth time, it's going to ruin everything.
Yeah, agreed.
And as Alan mentioned, if you're on the cash advance road, if you're on the cash advance road, we got way bigger problems.
Or those checks that they send you.
Do they still do that?
Yeah. They'll send you checks like, yo, look, for your convenience, you can just go ahead and...
For your convenience.
That's one of the worst ways to borrow. There's a right and a wrong way, and that's one of the wrong ways.
Wow. Do you know... So for instance, like the Chase Freedom Card, the cash advance interest rate, 26.74%.
Is that freedom? Who's that freedom for?
Right. We've always said freedom.
That sounds like the opposite of freedom right there.
Damn near 27%.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's from day one with a cash advance.
Yeah. Do not.
Wow. And there's still...
Yeah.
So you've got to pay back the principal. You've got to pay back the interest.
And it's higher. Yeah. You know who I'm seeing in my crystal ball right now? There's somebody who's hitting up their boo thing, like, yo, I need some money. I see they sent you this credit card check.
That's a crime. People can't go through your mail.
No, I'm just saying they saw it was late on. They had just finished doing what they did, and you know, they're sitting at the dinner going table, it's sitting right there. Hey, you know what? Man, I need some tires for my car. Would you let me borrow some money off this credit card? I'll give you the money right back. Yeah, I'll give it right back.
Even if they give it right back, it still costs more than what you gave them.
Yeah, just don't do it. That was sexually transmitted debt.
That was, STDs. That I just described. Sexually transmitted debt. Check out that podcast also. Now, this is the next one that I think is almost as bad. The one that we like the least. Yeah. Like, we hate credit cards. But then this one is like right there.
Yeah, I don't like to see people borrow against a 401k. Mm. And this is one of the ones that is a very easy thing to do. Because you don't need good credit to borrow against your 401k.
It's already my money.
Yeah. They make it super easy.
I worked hard for this money.
Like, the application process is like 30 seconds.
I'm not borrowing my own money. It's mine.
The issue is that many times people aren't borrowing this money for like real emergencies. You know,
The most common reason that we hear for people borrowing from their 401k is to help their grown-ass children.
Yeah.
I want to help, you know, I want to help my kids out there. They're looking to buy a home. You know, they need some money for a down payment, or, you know, they're struggling right now. Or, you know, like, I just want to make sure to give them a little something. Yeah. You're giving them your future. You've already given them your past. Like, what else do they need? You've raised these people. Like, if they don't got it, you have to be able to say, you know what? I don't have it either. Especially if it's not an emergency. If they're trying to buy a house, if they need money from you to purchase the home, it's probably outside of their means. And they're going to have a bigger problem later on down the line in trying to make the payments. Don't become a part of the problem.
Yeah. When we come back from break, we should go into a little more of the reasons why we don't like the 401k loan.
Okay. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Good and bad ways to borrow money.
And before the break, we were talking about 401k loans. Which,
borrowing against your 401k loan.
Yeah. We find that they're a very common loan. I would say, like, we talk to people all the time, Tiffany, and we go through their finances. It's very common to find people with a 401k loan.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I got one.
You've done this too? You need the home equity,
every
the 401k.
Every single
how much bad money
thing,
do you need to borrow?
Every single bad thing we talk against, I've done. Almost every one of
I'm
them.
Hoping you at least weren't giving this money away like you were giving away the home equity money.
Yeah, I used it to pay off credit card debt.
Okay.
And then ended up in even more credit card debt.
Right, because what happens is when you see that balance at zero,
yeah,
you're like, I could put a little bit on it.
That's the problem. That's the big issue with debt. Tiffany, listener, it's the notion that it's a slippery slope. You end up in more and more debt. So here's some of the bad things that happen when you borrow against your 401k. Because you always hear about the good things. Oh, it's your own money. You're paying yourself back. You get the interest. That's all true. But often they don't allow you to make any new contributions until you've paid off the loan.
So now you've halted your retirement saving period.
Correct. And that money's not growing. Often they'll let you take out the lesser of $50,000 or 50% of your balance. So if you borrowed $50,000.
You didn't just lose $50,000. You lost the $50,000 plus all the compound interest that would have come with that.
For all those years that it takes you to pay off the loan. The next thing is that it's not free. Like, there's fees for taking out a 401k loan. And then if, God forbid, you quit your job or get fired, you now have to pay that loan all the way back in a short period of time, or you get hit on your taxes. And if it counts as a distribution, you now have to pay, if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you now have to pay not just a tax on that money, but also a penalty on that money. And in most cases, that money's spent already, right? So we don't love the 401k loan, especially for paying off credit cards. And the main reason why I say for paying off credit cards is that we talk about one of the benefits of a 401k is that it's one of the few accounts that a creditor has no access to touch.
Yeah, this is the part that you really need to hear. A lot of people who are considering bankruptcy or who are filing for bankruptcy liquidate their 401k to put money towards the bankruptcy issues and the bills. Your retirement savings is one of the only accounts that's completely protected from creditors and bankruptcy. You could have $1 million in retirement savings and file for bankruptcy, and they cannot touch any of that money.
Yeah.
Why would you then dip into that money?
To just give it to them.
For random frivolous things. Not only, again, are you impacting your future, your ability to retire, your ability to live gracefully, but you're also, again, impacting the safest money that you probably have. It's also probably the money that's growing the fastest or the best for you. Mm-hmm. That's work. It's the only money that's working for you. The rest of your money is working against you. Probably this is probably the only money that you have that's working for you, and you won't allow it to go to work.
Yeah. It's trying to go to work.
It's trying to go to work for you. It's trying to be the one thing that's working for you in your favor, and all you have to do is leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. Like, we're just not used to seeing big balances in our names that we can access. We start thinking of stuff, and I know we said a right and a wrong way to borrow. We should really think about, like, yo, do I really need to borrow for this? Like, is there any other way besides borrowing for this?
Can you say no is my real question. Like, I have learned, especially for myself, because I have not had a lot of experience borrowing. I have an auto loan. I have a mortgage. I have student loans, which we talked about. And that was, honestly, if I really understood student loans at the age of 17, when I was filling out this paperwork, I probably would have done something differently, to be honest with you. But nowadays, especially when I'm paying for things in cash, I will stop and say, super nice, but do you actually need it? Yeah. Like, if you don't have it, you're gonna be all right. And if the answer is yeah, I'll be all right, I probably won't get it. With your children, whatever issue it is that you're taking this money out for, yes, you know, determine if you actually have to do it this way. Are there other ways that you can do it? But also ask, do I have to do this? Do I have to do it right now?
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question. So I know we haven't really given like any that we love.
I know.
Yeah.
Ask
I guess,
your friends.
Yeah, we're kind of debt
averse. Ask your boo. I like that one. I said, ladies, men, ask your significant other.
Yeah, so they can go and take a credit card loan?
No, first of all, if that person doesn't have it, this is a test to see if they're going to put themselves, if they're going to make bad financial decisions. But hopefully they have it. But, you know, Ask your boo. I like that one. Ask your boo thing. It'll help you understand the depth of your relationship.
Okay. I like trying to, you know, come up with more income.
It'll help you.
I like that idea.
You know, how much money they got.
Oh my gosh.
We did a show about talking to your significant other about money. Maybe it starts by asking to borrow some.
Yeah. No, I don't endorse that.
Okay.
I do endorse taking a look at peer-to-peer lending.
We just, that's not asking your bae. That's not asking boo. Peer-to-peer lending. You are my peer, and I'm asking to lend me some money.
Yeah. Peer-to-peer lending is like crowdfunding for loans. It's like asking a lot of people for a little bit of money all at once.
So asking everybody for a dollar.
That's peer-to-peer. The good thing about peer-to-peer lending is there's a lot of online platforms like Upstart, like Funding Circle, Prosper Marketplace, Lending Club. There's a lot of these things that will allow you to apply for a loan online. And often the rates can be a little bit better than credit cards. It might not be as good as a personal loan, but it's another type of lending that's out there. And if you really need to borrow, just, you know, take a look at peer-to-peer lending. Be careful. Again, I think the biggest caveat for all of this lending, make sure you really, really need the money before you go out to these peer lending sites.
Now, that was cute, peer-to-peer lending or just asking your boo for some money. That's nice.
Oh, my gosh.
But there's another one that we really don't like. We really, really hate it.
This one, we'd say, look.
Like, don't do this.
Don't even play with us.
Payday loans.
Yeah, don't play. Don't play, Tiffany.
That's damn near a loan shark.
Don't play.
Are there loan sharks out there? If there are any loan sharks that listen to the podcast, hit us up at Twitter. I just want to know how your business is going. What's your business model?
Sweet daddy.
Any loan sharks? We're at Momentum Advice on Twitter. I just want to hear, you know, how you're doing, how business is going in the pandemic, what your interest rates are. I'm really curious. But payday loans. This one, there's not even a set definition for payday loans because they're so all over the place. They can literally be anything that a person wants them to be. Short term, high cost, oftentimes for $500 or less, like you can get the money the next day or within the first hour. Like,
yeah,
payday loans are really predatory.
Yeah, they'll take the money out of your bank account directly, or you've got to write them a post-dated check for the balance.
And do you know that the interest on payday loans can sometimes be in the triple digits?
Mm. Lord, help me, please. Jesus.
So you borrow $500, I'm getting $1,000 back.
In like 30 days or less.
Or less. And if you don't give it to me, I'm taking it out of your bank account.
So in other words, the payday is for them.
Right. It's their payday. Exactly.
It ain't your payday.
It's not your payday. Honestly, like there, it's just, it's out of control. There shouldn't be an instance. If you need the money, honestly, you got to hit a friend up. You got to do something different. But all the other things that we said we didn't like, go with one of those before you go with a payday loan.
Well, other high interest loans we hate, pawn shop loan. That's when you bring your...
At least there's some collateral on the pawn shop loan. Like,
but those rates, those pawn shops will hit you for, in some cases, 200%+. That's a triple digit loan.
But if I don't come back, you could just keep the item.
Yeah, but what if that's something that's really valuable to you?
Then I'm not bringing it. That's like, not what I'm bringing.
If you brought your $5,000 wedding ring and they let you borrow $500 against it, like you feel good about just...
You're now a crackhead. You're now on drugs.
But what
these
I'm
are,
saying...
These are like, now crackhead decisions that are being made.
It's not such a good
and
thing.
Debt is no longer your problem. It's substance abuse at that point.
Yeah, and God bless anyone who's dealing with substance abuse issues. Yeah. Get some help. We love you, but do not do a pawn shop loan. Another one is a title loan. It's another bad loan.
Title loans, they have good-ass commercials.
Do they?
They have really good jingles. Yeah, especially like if you live in Atlanta or Baltimore. Mm. Those radio commercials, but they really got some producers on the beats for the title loan companies.
Yeah, okay. Well, either way, I don't care how good the damn song is. I don't care if they got Drake on the hook.
They paid for it with your interest.
Yeah. A title loan is when you bring your... paid off vehicle,
damn.
And you bring the paperwork saying, I own this vehicle, and you basically give them the title, and they give you a loan against it, and guess what happens if you don't pay it back?
They get to keep the car.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people lose cars over title loans. Yeah, please don't.
Not the title on your car.
Yeah, so we've talked about good and bad ways. I know we've hated on just about every way, because we're not big fans of borrowing, but if you think about the good and the bad ways to borrow, the better ways to borrow are when you can get a tax write-off. So a mortgage loan is generally a better way. A better way to borrow is when the interest rate is low. And I'd say low is like under 5 or 6%. Like someone tweeted us recently, like, should I be in a rush to pay off my auto loan? Well, if the rate's 2.5%, I'm good with you paying that off over time because the rate's really low. But any rate over like 6% is going to be a no-go for us if you can avoid it.
I mean, I feel like we've done our part.
Yeah,
I feel like we listen, there's a lot of hateration going on this episode, but I think it was rightfully so. We did give good ways. We gave advice on good ways to borrow money.
Credit union.
There's just a lot of bad ways to borrow money that people normalize. And we want to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, if you've made some of these decisions already, it's okay.
Yeah.
Alan's made all of them. It's fine.
Sure,
you can bounce back. We're not telling you you're a bad person. We're just saying moving forward, let's look at it differently.
I love it.
We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Money time.